You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
So let's look at verse 11 real quick. I'm going to run through it because you've all heard this story about 1,000 times this month. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all he had together, set off for a distant country, and there squandered all of his wealth with wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. So that was an economic downturn, right? That was a depression, a recession. Apparently, he was living in America. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the food that the pigs were eating, but the pigs wouldn't give him anything. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I'm starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father." And he says all this stuff he's going to say to his father. Verse 19, he says, "Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to break the bread of the Word of God together, that we get to sit down as a family and we get to have this spiritual meal together today. And so I just ask for those of us that are hungry, that are starving for the Word today, let what I give us today, let what you've given me, let it be bread for us. Let it be something that will fill us up and fulfill us and sustain us. But God, for those of us that are already full of the Word of God, God, we've been reading this Scripture and we understand what we're about to talk about, then God, I ask that it would be seed, that it would be something that we could give away, that we could sow into other people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we might be asking ourselves, why in the world are we talking about money? And why is money so important? And Pastor, you've already preached about money once this year. And so why do we need to preach about money again if you've already done it once? Didn't we all get it the first time? I have no idea if you got it or not. I'm not you. But here's the thing I do know. I do know this, that Jesus talked about money a lot. He talked about money a lot, and he talked about really the love of money, and we're going to get into that in just a few minutes, but he really wanted you to understand that that money is tied to everything that you do. There's not one of us, rich or poor, that don't have to deal with money on a day-to-day basis. Either somebody's wanting to give you money, or somebody's wanting to take your money, but at some point, you're going to have to deal with money, and if we don't have a good understanding of how money works and what the Bible says about money and how a Christian should be with money, then we're going to be in trouble. And I'll tell you why. The reason we're going to be in trouble is because of this little thing called Murphy's Law. Anybody ever heard of Murphy's Law? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong, right? And we all like to say, well, that's just bad profession, you know, Pastor. Don't be speaking that over me. No, it's just reality. I mean, reality says something bad's going to happen to everybody at some point or another. But the people that survive it are the people that are prepared for it. If you know something's going to happen, why not prepare for it? And then you're ready when it does, right? All of my guys that like survival in here and, all my preppers in here, they're all saying, yes, that's right, Pastor. Preach it more, right? Because they've got, stockpiles of corn in their basement. And so they just know they're going to survive the apocalypse with corn. And I guess they will, right? If you don't have a gun, you just hit people with cans of corn. In case zombies come. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm secretly hoping for zombies. That would be really neat. But anyways, this whole theory of Murphy's Law, and I realized this in my life this week. In my other life that I live two lives. In my other life, I'm a paraprofessional. I'm a support person at a school. I help kids that are struggling, or kids have special needs at an elementary school. And part of the ways I help, one of the things I do is I have to go into the last PE class of the day because it is two kindergarten classes. And right off the bat, that's hard enough for one PE coach to handle two kindergarten classes. But then you add into it the variety of special needs in those two kindergarten classes. I mean, we've got kids that, have all kinds of special needs. I mean, they're on some kind of spectrum somewhere, right? And we got one kid, I heard a story one time that they were eating at Chick-fil-A, and all of a sudden his mom turned around. She couldn't find him, and he was already across Highway 31. Like, he is just a slippery little dude. I mean, he can get out, you know. And so so we got these guys. So I'm in there helping corral, you know. And so one day, this little boy needed his shoes tied or whatever. And so I reached down and tied his shoes for him. And this other little boy's walking by, and he's got this little necklace with a little ring on it. You know, I said, "Oh, that's a cool little necklace," you know. And I grabbed the little necklace and I said, what is that for?" And he said, "That's what I chew on." And I said, oh, no. You know, I mean, it's like, ah. And so I go in, and there's these ladies that work in my same department or whatever, and I guess one of them's kind of over me, and I was telling them, that story, you know, and they said, "Oh, that's terrible." And they said, "And you tied a boy's shoes?" And I said, "Yeah, what's wrong with that?" And they said, "You never tie little boy's shoes." I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "Because little boys miss in the bathroom, and it gets on their shoes." And I said, That's gross, you know? Like, that's terrible. This is the worst part of my job so far." And so they said, "Always find another kid that can tie shoes and let the kids tie each other's shoes and then tell them to go wash their hands. You know, you don't have to do it." And so I thought, you guys are terrible. And so I just made up my mind, okay, tomorrow I'm not tying any shoes, right? I'm not touching anything gross. And so Murphy's Law came into play in my life. The next day, I go in there, and there's this little girl, and this little girl walks up to me. She doesn't talk a lot. She's a kindergartner, and she walks up to me. She just looks at me with this big, like, her eyes were like this big, and she's looking at me like something bad is about to happen, you know? And so I'm wondering what's going on, and she just goes, and sneezes. And when she does, I don't want to be too crude, but she blows something, and it's just like a mustache on her face, right out of her nose. And I went, "Oh, I said, "I'm going to have to get you a napkin for that." And as I said it, she looks at me and goes, again. And this time blows it all over her face. I mean, just like everyone. She's got a beard and a mustache, and she looks like Santa Claus, like a slimy Santa Claus is what she looks like. And I said, "No, you go get your own napkin now. You know, go take a shower. I'm not helping you at all." And then that day, every boy in PE had their shoes untied. I'm like, where are the Velcro sneakers? Like, when I was a little kid, we had Velcro shoes, and then whenever you get really, really old, you got the silver sneakers from Walmart, and I love them, but why aren't these kids wearing them? And I looked around for someone to help tie shoes, and not one kid knew how to tie shoes. So there I am, tying pee-pee strings, you know what I mean, like the whole time, like just nasty, terrible, and that's what happens. That's what happens when you don't prepare and you don't wear rubber gloves to school. I'm going to start doing that. But the problem is, in life, when you don't prepare financially for things that are going to happen inevitably, and when those things happen to you, what you do is you blame God. "Well, God didn't take care of me." Where is this God of love? Where is the God that says that He will take care of all my needs? Where is the God that's got a cattle on 1,000 hills when my car broke down and I didn't have the money to pay for it? Can I tell you something today? Cars break down, that's what they do, right? I truly don't believe that they build cars to last. That's not a good financial model, right? If you build a car to last, then you never have to sell another one. I think they build cars and they put little things in them to make them break down after so long. And I just know that's what happens. And so your cars are always going to break down. Your little kids, they're always going to need a dentist and orthodontics. I don't care how beautiful your teeth are. It might and probably will happen to you that your kids are going to have jacked up teeth. You're going to have to slap some train tracks on them and get them straight. It's going to cost you money. Prepare now. At some point, those of us that have daughters, you know what I'm about to say. They're going to want to get married. And that's going to cost us a lot of money. So I want to give you just three reasons quickly that we need to talk about money today. Number one is our family. Your family should be one of the main reasons that you need to have a good financial plan for your life. That you need to understand God's plan for your finances. Why? Because you need to leave an inheritance for your kids. Right? You need to be able to provide for your family. Men, we've got to be able to provide for those around us, for our family. And then another reason in that family thing is divorces, most divorces or many divorces, list finances as part of the issue with the divorce, because finances cause trouble in the marriage. It causes fights in the marriage, and he's not taking care of the money, and she's spending all my money, and blah, 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 back and forth. And the next thing you know, you've got this rift happening in your marriage. So we need to have a good financial plan for our life and a good biblical plan for our finances, just strictly for our family. Another thing that we need to think about is when it comes to our money is think about our future. I've said this time and time again that it's important for you to get out of debt, and we're going to talk about this later, but for you to get out of debt because God may want you to do something important, but if you're covered up in debt, you can't do what God needs you to do. I knew a guy one time, and someone was offering him a job at a great, great place, and he could have taken the job, except he had so much debt that he required a certain amount of money just to maintain his debt. Not to pay it off, just to maintain it. And the thing is, nobody was willing to pay him that amount of money. But if he would have been debt-free, I've said this story a bunch, but one of the jobs I took one time in the ministry, because my wife and I did not have debt, we were able to take this job, and what we thought was going to be the same pay turned out to be $11,000 a year less. It was a pay cut, and we didn't realize it. We didn't know it. And what that boss thought was, oh, yeah, we'll pay you the same, was very different than what I thought, oh, yeah, we'll pay you the same. You know, I think he was thinking in like rounding it off to the nearest $100,000 or something crazy like that, because it didn't work. $100,000, that'd be awesome. So we got to make sure that we're setting up our future. As a matter of fact, I'll read this in a few minutes in Proverbs. The Bible talks about the ants. You ever heard that story? We'll read it in a few minutes, but it just basically says even look at ants, look at bugs, look at squirrels, look at animals. Animals even understand the idea of preparing for their future because they will go store food for the winter when things are lean. Why can't humans do the same thing? I don't know. We got to prepare for our future. And then the last thing is our focus. We've got to bring our focus back where it needs to be. And most of the time our focus gets off, especially when it's concerning finances. And I've talked to lots of people, especially Christians. Christians oftentimes have a terrible view of money and finances. And so I was actually looking at an article out of a Texas newspaper last week. And this article had these cool little these little things that are basically focus for us. And I want you to look at them real quick. It should be in a little box in your notes. But the first one is most of us are going to fall in one of these four categories. Some of us may fall in a couple of them. But the first one is money avoidance. Money avoidance. And that's just the kind of person that avoids money, that says all money is evil, rich people are greedy and bad, and I want to stay away from money, and I don't need a job, I don't need a promotion, and they're always trying to push money away from them, right? And we see people like that. We see them like that in church a lot, trying to push money away. We've got some people that are money worshipers, that all they care about is money and getting more money. Like, I just have to have more money and more money and more money. And they end up neglecting their families because they work longer hours than they probably should. They go in, they do more, and they try and earn more money, forgetting that there's other people around them. And so they got money worshipers. And then you've got money status people that for them, it's all about a status thing. Like, I've got to have more stuff so that I look better. It's not even just about having more money for them. It's about having more money and more stuff than you. Like, I don't care that I'm the richest person in the world. I just want to be richer than my neighbor, right? And so they're constantly going into debt trying to buy more stuff, right? There was this cool commercial a while back, and I can't remember what it was talking about. It's a bank commercial or something. And when they were on there, it was showing these people like driving their cars, and this one guy had like this big, nice car, and it's like a big SUV, and it was brand new, and he's pulling a boat behind it, and he had this big house, and then, like, at the end, it showed, like, how much debt he was in, and he was, like, $100,000 in debt. And it's like, it's not worth it, but sometimes we get that way. It's all about the status. And then the last group of people is money vigilant, and what that means is people that are savers. Like, they want to save money, save money, save money, to the point, though, sometimes that they don't ever spend money. And we may be thinking, well, Pastor, that's a good thing. Like, don't you want to be a saver? Yeah, you want to save, but you don't want to be a hoarder. And what money vigilant people become is they become very greedy because they want to hoard it, hoard it, hoard it. And they become like Scrooge. No one can ever touch it. And so what we want to do is we want to learn What does God say about us? And how does God take us out of that? How can I reset my focus so that I'm not out of balance in one of those areas? We got this little third grader at the school, and his name is Aiden, and Aiden always forgets his glasses. Like every day he forgets his glasses, and so every day he comes in, and even the principal now is like, Aiden, where are your glasses? You know, and he was like, I don't know, I lost them. So the other day he finally shows up with his glasses on, and I was just, you know, like being dumb, just playing with him or whatever. I was like, oh man, let me see those glasses, those are cool, and then let me put them on. I put on his glasses, and it was like all of a sudden the whole world came alive. And I realized my vision is terrible, right? And Aiden's glasses are perfect for me. And I was like, bro, can I borrow these? Because I need to be able to see. Look at, there are people in this room. Like, I didn't even realize it, you know? And so it's a neat thing to put on someone's glasses and realize that you can see things. But here's the thing. Oftentimes, we don't know that we're out of focus until someone shows us a better way. And what we want to do is look at the scriptures today and allow God to show us a better way. You may not even realize you're out of focus financially. But whenever the scriptures point a few things out to you today, you may realize it. I like this idea of that it's not about getting something from God. It's about being something for God. And we read that last week or 2 weeks ago whenever the Bible says that the son said, give me money. And then whenever he had wasted it all, he realized, I need you to make me into something else. Like, it's not about what I can get from you physically. It's about what you can create me to be. And God wants you to be somebody that he can bless. I mean, God wants to bless you. Does that mean I'm supposed to be a multimillionaire? I don't know about all that. But I know this. I know God desires to bless his people. He desires to pour out his love on you. The problem is we're oftentimes not ready to receive it. We're not ready to handle it. And so I looked at Haggai chapter 1. It's not going to be on the screen, I don't think. But verses 5 and 6, just listen to this because it's a good thought. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. In other words, he's saying pay attention to what you're doing. Look at the way you live your life. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. And then this is the part that really stings. It says, you earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. I don't know about you, but I want God to change my ways, change me, and make me into the type of person that he is willing to pour blessings on because I'm not going to be a purse with holes in it. I'm not going to just let money be wasted in my life. I'm not going to allow talent to be wasted and blessings to be wasted in my life. So how do we reset our money? Well, we reset our money focus. And I'm going to go through a couple of things. Number one is by being free. By being free. In Proverbs 22:7 says this, the borrower is slave to the lender. And I gave you a couple other verses. I'm not going to go through every single verse. But whenever we put ourselves in a position of debt, we become a slave to the debtor. We become a slave to that person, to the lender. We become a slave to that person. And that person becomes our boss. Right? Because now everything that we do, we have to do to keep up with that debt. I don't know about you, but that's a bad place to be. The Bible never says one time that you are called to be in slavery. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, whenever slavery was fairly common, and someone might would go into debt and have to sell themselves to another person as a slave, the Bible says you can only do it for 7 years, and after 7 years, you got to set people free. You got to let them go. Like, we're not going to hold people under slavery like that. And so we've got to understand something today. Some of you, and I have been in this place before, you find yourself at times in this debt. And you've spent money that you don't have. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, later on in Proverbs 22, verses 26 and 27, it says, be not one of those who gives pledges, who puts up security for debts. He says, if you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from underneath you? In other words, what he's saying is, if you ain't got the money, don't buy it. But so often, if we get caught up in the status, I'm trying to keep up with. I learned a long time ago that God surrounded me with people that make way more money than I do. And he taught me a lesson that I can never keep up with them. And I've got to learn to be content with being me and stop trying to be them. And when I learned to be content with being me, I got out of debt. I've shared this story before. One time I went to the beach when we lived in Mobile, and one of our friends, you know, their family, very, very wealthy, and another guy made great money, and they were all going to the beach, and one of the families had a beach house, and down in Gulf Shores or Orange Beach, something like that, and this great beach house, and they're like, come on down with us and hang out with us. And what I didn't realize was we had gotten our finances mixed up. We did automatic draft on a lot of our stuff. We had gotten them mixed up because I got paid every other week. And it just so happened to fall that all of these bills came due on one of the weeks that I didn't get paid. I would have the money the next week, but that week I didn't have the money. And all of a sudden, all of our bills started going out, and it just depleted our entire checking account. And I didn't realize it. And I remember going to the beach with these guys, and they stopped at Walmart, and they were like, we got to buy some supplies and some stuff. And I didn't need anything. But I wanted to keep up because they were buying Red Bulls, and they were buying these, you know, instead of just getting Walmart water, they're buying, you know, Smart Waters, and they're buying this, and they're doing all this stuff. And I was like, well, I got to do that too. And I get all my stuff together, and I go through, and I swipe my card, and it says denied. I said, something must be wrong. I swipe it again, denied. That is one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. And it wouldn't have been all that embarrassing had I just lived within my means and stayed within myself. But because I wanted to be like them, it became a pain for me. And so we've got to learn to get ourselves out of debt by whatever means possible. I've talked to people all the time. I was talking to someone just today. They were telling me, man, our goal is to get out of debt. So I dropped this place. I'm trying to, you know, cut out the fat in my life just so I can put money towards debt to eliminate debt so I don't have to have that hanging over my head. The second thing that we change our way, we change our money focus and really change our life is by being diligent. Being diligent. I love this. Proverbs 22:29 says, do you ever see a man skillful or diligent in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And then 2 Thessalonians, this is a great passage. You need to read it later. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Essentially, it says this. It says, if you don't work, you don't eat. I think it's important for us to understand something today, that in order for us to change our ways, we've got to make sure that we are working hard. So we need to get free, and then we need to work hard. Now, some of you guys, we got some hard workers. This message may not even be for you because we got some hardcore blue collar. I work 5 jobs a week just to make it, and I'm so proud of you guys. But there's other people out there in life that like to freeload. They like to sit back. They like to relax. They love to sleep. They love to rest. We talked a couple weeks ago that it's important to understand that if you don't work, you don't deserve rest. If you don't work, you don't deserve to spend a bunch of money, right? We've got to make sure that we are working hard, that we are out there doing what it takes, being diligent in what God places in front of us. I told somebody the other day, the job that I'm at, they I'm actually hired out by another company, and that company says you got to be there from 7:15 to 3:30. Well, the problem with that is at 3:08, a lot of times, all the kids are gone, and there's nothing for me to do, and the principal says, go home. But I'm supposed to be there till 3:30. So I told the principal the other day, I said, look, I got to be here till 3:30. You better find me something else to do. Like, I'm going to work until work is over, and then I'll leave. You know, and so we've got to be diligent in what we do if we want to be successful and we want God to bless us. God is not going to bless lazy, period. He just doesn't do it. Even God himself, the Bible says when he created the world, everything he made, he looked at it and he said this, it is good. That word good there is translated out as meaning excellent. So God said, I have done everything I need to do on this job and now I will move on to the next one. And when he was excellent for 6 days, he said, I've been excellent for a week. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to rest. And that's how we ought to live our lives. Some of you guys are retired, and you are retired because you have been excellent for a whole long time. And now you have earned your rest. And I'm proud of you. Let's look at the next one. It says, being generous. This isn't a money thing at all. As a matter of fact, when we talk about generosity, money is not even the biggest factor in generosity. As a matter of fact, when you talk about generosity, it's way more than money. It's more about your life. It's more about your heart, right? We need to be people that are generous at heart. And I'm not always generous at heart. I'm going to be honest with you. There are plenty of times I give to people, and I can give money sometimes, and I can do some things. But like I've told you this before, when it comes to food, like I'm just not generous with what's on my plate. Like I don't want you sharing my food. The other day, Gabriel, my son, my nine, whatever he is, came in and he's like, Dad, he said, I like what's on your plate. Can I have some of your food? And I was like, no, you cannot. And Perry looked at me like, what in the world? I was like, I'll fix you another one. Like I will go make you a quesadilla, but you're not eating my quesadilla because this is my quesadilla and I don't share food. So that's something God's going to have to work on me. And so that's where I'll be, you know, praying today. But the Bible says this in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. It basically says this. I'm not going to read the whole story because it's long and I'm running out of time. But it says this, that Jesus sat down and watched people give their offering at church. Now, how would you feel if Jesus showed up and was like, I'm going to be the usher today? That's all you got? Okay. Oh, really? Okay. You know, and he just walked around looking at your money. I would feel very creepy, and I would feel like upset that he looked at what I gave. But Jesus is sitting there watching everybody give. And the Bible says that lots of rich people walked in, and they're just unloading big bucks in the offering plate. And Jesus is like, all right, all right, all right. And then all of a sudden, one woman catches his attention. It's a little old lady. She's retired. She's living on a pension. She ain't got much, right? She's got her Social Security check coming in. That's about all she's got. And she walks in, and the Bible says that she gave, and she only gave 2 copper coins. And Jesus said, that woman just gave more than everybody else. That woman is the most generous one in this whole room. And the disciples look at him like, what are you talking about? She just gave 2 copper coins. He said, yeah, but everybody else is giving out of their abundance. And in other words, what they're giving is really insignificant to the amount of money that they already have. But what she gave from the heart because she gave out of everything that she has. Like whenever she gave 10%, it was 10% on everything that she owned. It was hard for her to give. She gave sacrificially. What she gave was probably a meal this week for her. And she gave it up for me. I like football, you guys know that, and you know, the NFL starts today, or actually started Thursday, but it really starts today because the Saints play today, and so it really starts today, and one of the things I noticed is like this year in the NFL, they're starting the season with like 30-something people on suspension, and one of those people is an owner of one of the teams, and they made that owner pay a fine of $500,000. And all the players are mad. Like, they are just mad. They're like, they're mad at the commissioner. Why'd you make him pay so little? And I'm thinking, $500,000, that's a lot of money, right? I could live on that for a long time. And the commissioner looks out and they're all mad. And the players are saying, you're making him pay very little in comparison to what he makes. He's a billionaire. He's got billions of dollars. He's got trucks in his backyard just full of money that he doesn't even know what to do with, right? Just, this guy's got lots of money, so $500,000 is like throwing nothing. And that's the way God viewed all those rich people giving. He said, you got $10,000, you're giving 50 bucks, but this woman, she ain't got much. She's got 10 cents, she's giving 2 pennies. Like, she's giving of what she's got. The last thing is this, and let me read this thought that Jesus even said this in Luke chapter 6. He said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I love that thought. Jesus says, you want a reward? Be generous. Be generous with your life. And he goes on, like even before that, he talks about not judging people, forgiving people, loving people. And he says, be generous with all that you have. Be generous with your forgiveness. Be generous with your love. Because whatever you give, it'll be given back to you pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know what that means, right? It's like whenever you take a Coke bottle, right? You put the cap on it, you shake it up real big till that thing just blows up. Have y'all seen that YouTube video lately? I wish I had it so I could show you. This guy's shooting this video, and this other guy's got like a 2-liter Coke, and he shakes it up, and he throws it on the ground, and nothing happens. And he shakes it up, and throws it on the ground, nothing happens. And finally, he shakes it up, throws it on the ground. And the third time he throws it on the ground, it hits right on the cap. And when it hits on the cap busts, and that thing takes off like a rocket, and it hits the cameraman. Boom! The camera goes out. It's awesome. You need to check it out. I don't even know how to find it, but it's great. The next one is this, and I've only got two more. The next one is this, is we will change our money focus by being wise. Proverbs 6:6-11 is that verse I told you about the ant. It says, go look at the ant, you lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having a chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you, I like that word, O sluggard. When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I'm going to just quickly bounce on this one and then we'll go to the next one. But that is this. Prepare yourself a budget. Like, this is the most practical one of all of them. Prepare yourself a budget. Have a plan for your finances. Because I promise you, your finances are going to do their thing. Like, they're going to go. And if you have a plan, you at least get to tell them where to go. And I encourage any teenager in the room today, learn to prepare a budget now. And that way you won't be backtracking and having to reset your finances later. Prepare a budget. Write down at the top how much money I bring in. And then start listing all the things I gotta pay. And once you pay everything you gotta pay, then the leftover money is stuff you can use for yourself or to save. Probably need to save it. So prepare a budget. And if you need help preparing a budget, we've got guys in this church that would love to help you. Our trustees are great financial guys, and they would love to help you prepare a budget and do that. So it's a great thing to have. It changed my life. Changed my life. My wife and I were in debt. We prepared a budget. We were diligent about that. We stuck to it. And we got ourselves out of debt and haven't been in debt ever since. So prepare a budget. The last one is this. We need to be kingdom-minded. We need to be kingdom-minded. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What I didn't read is before that, the Bible is talking about not worrying about what you have and worrying about what you need and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus says, look, man, stop worrying about everything and put the kingdom of God first. Make that a priority, and then everything else you need, we'll take care of it. Like, we'll fix it. Third book of John, chapter 1, verses 5-8, basically says this. It says, we need to be the support system for others that are spreading the gospel, that are taking the gospel other places, that are expanding the kingdom. We need to be the support system for them. It says this, it says, therefore we ought to support people like this, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I love that, and I actually put that in my journal this week because I just thought that was a great thought, that every time I give and I bless the ministry, whenever I give towards missionaries or I give towards the church, I become a partner in what they do. I can't go to Sumatra with Chris and Carrie Duncan and witness to Muslims. I can't go start churches in Indonesia. But you know what I can do? I can give them money and let them do it. And whenever I give them money and let them do it, I become a partner in God's eyes with them in that project. So whenever I get to heaven and God looks at me, he's going to say, man, you did a great job witnessing to Muslims in Indonesia. And I'm going to be like, I never went there. He's like, yeah, but you gave towards it. Like, you were a partner with those missionaries. So I encourage you, make that a part of your life. Now, we here at our church, we tithe. We believe in tithing. We believe in the 10%. And I'm not going to do a message on that. I've already done that before. But we believe in tithing. We believe it's part of what the Bible says we should do. And then as a church, we tithe again. So whatever you give with your tithe, we take your tithe and we take 10% of that and we give that away. And that's how we support missionaries all around the world and here at home. We got some of our home missionaries. Jim McChesney's one of those. I went down to the park last week and got to minister to homeless people, and it was awesome. It was great. But that stuff doesn't happen unless churches, unless people support that ministry. And so we love that. Here's my final thought, and then I'm going to shut up. And my final thought is this, and if you don't have it in your notes, I think it's in there, but make sure you write it down. It's, if there's ever a question, choose God. If there's ever a question about your finances, if there's ever a question about your job, if there's ever a question about anything that you come up against when it comes to financial stuff, choose God. Choose God. Choose the kingdom over yourself. Choose God over yourself and see if He won't bless you. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, test me. Test me in the tithe and just see if I won't pour out a blessing that you can't contain. So God's saying, come on, bring it on. Let's see what you got. See if I can't bless you. The problem with the prodigal is he got it all twisted. The prodigal wanted the money that the father had more than he wanted the father himself. And we've got to get back to a place where we want the father more than we want the father's money. I don't want to be a gold-digging Christian. Amen? I want to be a Christian that loves the Father, that loves Jesus, and my life is devoted to Him. And whatever He wants to bless me with, I'll take it. But my life is His first and foremost. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you real quick. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money. Now notice I'm saying love of money, not just money. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And then Luke 10:27 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It's important for us to understand today, if we're going to break free of that money focus, that money out of focus that we talked about earlier, then we've got to get back to what the Bible says. We cannot allow love of money to control us. We've got to first and foremost love the Lord our God with everything we've got and allow Him to take care of everything else. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads with me today and close your eyes?
For listening to the Gateway Family Church podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.